Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by the Do It With Drupal Seminar. The video archive is now available with over 40 hours of high-quality video from Drupal's top developers and thinkers. For more information and free full-length sample videos, go to doitwithdrupal.com.
My name is Susan Stewart. I'm known as HedgeMage on IRC and Drupal.org, and I'm hosting a BOF today for new people who'd like to become Drupal contributors but aren't really sure where to start or how to do it. We have a lot of people who keep saying, well, you know, I'd really like to give back and this all sounds great, but issue queues are scary, or I don't know where to start, I don't know what to do, I don't know how to get set up. So hopefully we can give them a little push, a little nudge, and get more great contributors submitting patches and possibly clearing out the 100 and something that are keeping us from releasing D7.
Okay, so maybe you could talk about, you know, what are some of those things that people can do to get more involved in the process of helping create Drupal?
Well, we absolutely need people who do support and documentation and all those things, but the really cool stuff, at least to me, is happening in the issue queues, because we need people to triage issues so we can focus on the stuff that's actually important. You know, thankless tasks like marking duplicates as duplicates so that people aren't working in two different places and figuring out what's critical and what's not. We need people who test patches. We have so many patches sitting there. We have a problem. Somebody wrote a fix, but until it's tested and reviewed and looked at, we can't get it reviewed and tested by the community and get it into Drupal 7. So all those thankless jobs, not to mention actually filing bugs and writing patches to fix the bugs.
Yeah, Angie was making a presentation at the Core Developer Summit to be able to click a button so that it would actually instantaneously create a version of Drupal with that patch applied so that, you know, the person wouldn't have to even work on the command line. So it sounds like by the time this interview airs, that may actually be there so people can, you know, more easily sort of test patches in that way. But what are some of the other things that you're suggesting people to get involved with?
Really, I'm trying to get more people on IRC and on the mailing lists and talking to the community, because it's easier to become comfortable when you're around it. One of the things, for me at least, when I started using open source and started getting involved in various projects, I was living in the middle of nowhere on a hog farm. So the internet was how I got to meet people, and I became part of these dialogues. And with open source, it doesn't matter where you are, where you're from, who you are. It matters if you're willing to step up and do something. So the more you're around it, the more familiar it feels, the more comfortable you get, the more you do, the bigger Drupal gets, the more awesome happens.
So talk about how you got involved with Drupal and how you sort of worked from the very beginning to where you are right now.
Drupal started out as a platform for a volunteer project for me. I was working with Army Family Readiness Groups, and we needed a way for me to create a website in a can that the other family readiness groups who didn't have a technology person in them could actually use. So after I had done that for a while, I ended up moving, and I had a special needs child, and I wanted to be able to stay home with him. So I started freelancing Drupal so that I could stay with my child, still work from wherever my laptop was. And a year ago, last January, I started Sue's Head Web Development out of Indianapolis, and I've been doing that ever since.
Great. So how did you start interfacing with, you know, it's one thing to kind of run your own Drupal shop and, you know, do your own client work or whatever, but how did you start getting more integrated into participating within the Drupal community?
I had a little head start because I was already on Freenode IRC for everything else. I was a Freenode staffer at the time, as a matter of fact. So my immediate reaction was, oh, this is cool, I'm doing this. I jumped into the IRC channels. And I was around, this was before WebChicks Day, I was around chicks all the time. People asked me, oh, how'd you get good at that? I said, I submitted really bad code, chicks told me I did it wrong, and then I got smarter.
Great, so you were just committing code and then getting feedback from the community, but what are the other ways that either you or other people could, if they're not a coder, or other ways that they could get involved?
Documentation, putting together themes, support. We have a whole bunch of people who sit around in IRC and do nothing but answer questions for people who are using admining and developing Drupal sites. And that's incredibly important because it helps keep the community fresh and help it grow. We absolutely need documentation. It is so wonderful when someone comes in with a question and says, how do I? And we say, boom, there's a link. Someone documented it. It's all written up. You can read it. You can go through it. You have a basis from which to ask questions. questions. And all of these things are important even if you're not a coder. And if you're not a coder, you can still review patches. You don't have to know how to code them. You can still try them out, see if anything broke. Look at the code and notice things like, well, this isn't documented, so if I wasn't just told in the issue what it did, I would have no idea. Things like that you can still do even if you're not a coder.
And so in IRC, there's a many different Drupal channels. Maybe we could talk about the landscape of where people should go to do different things.
If you're not sure, start out in Hash Drupal. Hash Drupal is the general purpose Drupal channel where you will run into everything from core development discussions to people talking about their favorite themes to people asking for support to people complaining about their boss and the stupid thing they have to work with that they don't like. And from there, you can end up in Hash Drupal-support. You can end up in Drupal Dev. You can end up in Drupal Contribute. Drupal Contribute is my favorite because it is a channel developed solely to things that end up being released to the public and on Drupal.org, whether they be modules, themes, things that go into Drupal core, documentation, infrastructure. That's where the Drupal community is happening.
And so maybe talk a bit about if someone has a question that they have to ask, the difference between going to Pound Drupal versus Pound Drupal dash support, and you know, talk about what are happening in the support and the dev channels.
Okay, when you're in Pound Drupal, anything goes. So if you're not sure, start there. If something is a deep development discussion that's going to kind of take over the channel, we move it to Drupal-dev. If it's a deep support discussion that's going to cause so much screen scroll nobody can follow the other conversations, we're going to take it to Drupal-support. But if you're unsure, in Pound Drupal, everything goes, and we'll grab you and drag you to another channel if we need to.
Yeah, I know one thing that Angie says a lot is that one great way to learn Drupal is to actually help answer other people's questions. Maybe you could sort of talk about how people get into Drupal by trying to figure out other people's problems.
Absolutely. In open source, one of the easiest ways to learn is to do. And there are some things that you won't run into in your own projects, but if you're sitting in support, someone's going to say, oh, how do I create a page? Well, you need hook menu. But I'm not creating a menu item. Well, you still need hook menu. And we go back and forth and you learn things that you haven't done, but now you know how to do it because you were part of the conversation. Even if you were just directing someone to api.drupal.org to look it up, you're probably going to take a look at it too when they say, okay, I see this, but...
Yeah, and I guess one other big helpful thing is the contributed module landscape, which often gets sort of overlooked. Usually it's one or two developers that are, you know, trying to manage their own project, their issue queues. Maybe you could talk about, like, where can people dive in and to kind of help prune the issue queues, and how would they even start to go about doing that?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I think one of the days that people were happiest was when I attacked the Views issue queue backlog and went through and cleaned out a ton of stuff before I was a very regular core contributor. And the nice thing about issue queue triage is a lot of it's obvious. This person didn't give enough information for us to know what the heck we're talking about. Market needs information, things like that. Also, for new contributors, working with contrib modules and themes, issue queues is often a lot easier and less intimidating because instead of being in front of the whole Drupal community that watches the core issue queue, you're in front of the five or six people who work on a particular contrib module. So for some people, it's less scary, and it still needs to be done.
Okay, and what are some of the different statuses of issue queues that people should be aware of?
Issue status, things to look at are a lot of things like won't fix and by design. Some are quite obvious. For example, Views doesn't have a page until I give it a page display. Well, that was by design because we don't know if you want to display it in a page or a block until you tell us. Marking things off like that, marking things RTBC is a little trickier, but once you watch the issue queue, you get the hang of it. Once something's been looked at enough that we're hoping that Webchick or another committer will look at it and say, okay, this is good to go. All these people have looked at it. We know it's going to work. Let's put it in.
So RTBC used to be ready to be committed, but now it's been reviewed and tested by community, right?
Yes, that was my understanding of that is that it was to make it a little easier for people coming in to know what we're really talking about. Because if you're around open source projects a lot, you know RTBC is a process that involves multiple people. Before we changed it to reviewed and tested by community to make it really obvious that it's not RTBC until it's had a bunch of eyes on it and everyone's gotten a chance to weigh in, we had a lot of people who would just come come in, write a patch, and market RTBC without anyone having ever reviewed it. And this, we hope, is a little bit more friendly way to say, this is a group effort, this is a community effort, and if it's not reviewed and tested by the community, not just one person, it's not ready yet.
And any other statuses on the issue queues that people should be aware of?
The usual ones. There are ones that are just open. No one's really looked at it yet. Needs information. We don't have enough information to know what's going on here. We have things that are patch needs review. Somebody wrote a patch, but until people test it and look at it, it can't be RTBC because it hasn't been reviewed and tested by community. Code needs work. There's a patch, but there are things that need to be added, changed, or fixed before it can be RTBC.
Okay, and what are some of the other things that you're going to be telling people today for, you know, ways they can kind of jump in depending on their skill set?
The novice tag is your friend. A lot of people tag issues with the word novice if a new contributor would have an easier time attacking that than, say, big evil core patch we've been arguing about for 3 months. Those are things, if you just do a search in the issue queue for things with the tag novice, those are things that we've set aside and said, this is a great place to start if you're a new contributor and new to the issue queues. If you want to start in documentation, start by talking to people in IRC and looking at the Drupal handbook and the other documentation and find holes, find something you can make better and jump in and do it.
It's a relatively within the last 2 or 3 years new thing in terms of being able to tag individual issues with tags, and there seems like there'd be other ones like usability or accessibility. Maybe talk about other things that people could do on that front.
There are accessibility tags, there are things that are tagged user experience, there are things tagged that are novice, there are things tagged that affect certain other groups, and once you kind of learn what you're interested in, if you're have 2 or 3 issues that you really liked working on, if they have a couple tags in common, start searching on those tags. It'll help you find things that you like doing. And if you're liking what you do, you're more motivated and you're going to do more.
And finally, maybe you could just talk about like what motivates you to keep doing what you're doing with helping out with Drupal.
I really love working with new contributors. It's nice to see people who are fresh and new and excited. And I really like challenging myself and see other people challenge themselves. There are times in software where you're just implementing things that we all implement every day. But when it's new to the person doing it, it's really exciting because they're learning something new. You get to see a different perspective on something maybe that you've been working with forever. For example, the bug and patch bingo on Drupal.org. It's been there forever. I've known it's been there forever. But I was talking to 2 new contributors last night, and the first thing they said was, well, we always get really old issues from 4.5 and 4.6, and it's really discouraging because we don't know what we should and shouldn't work on when one comes up. So we spent last night talking about how to clean up bug and patch bingo and make them more useful. It's something that an old contributor never would have thought about.
Okay, well, great. Thanks.
Thank you.